All right, the recorder is started. My Kindle's being a little slow. Here we go. Yeah, so 1 John chapter 1 is very, very short, so we'll probably get a couple of chapters done tonight, it looks like. But we're on 1 John chapter 1, which is page 443. And here we go. We proclaim the word of life. This is a sentence of self-acceptance. This is a sentence that comes upon your heart as you look within and see that which you find there. That which you find is love, and it is you. That which you find is life, and it is you. That which you find is beyond description, and so we simply call it the Word. And that which you find is you. One thing that's really interesting to me is the word love, because you know, people have to use words. And love is a wonderful word, and I can see why people pick the word love. But you know, when you get used to human love, that emotional love, what you find is that emotional love does not exist in awareness. That's a mental love. And so sometimes because people imagine this emotional human mental love, they come to know awareness and they're like, where's the love? I couldn't find the love. And it's because they're looking for the wrong thing. So you have to understand that love here means something different. And in fact, this love is pure. A mental love is not. For example, I can love you today and then tomorrow not like you at all. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Mental love is fickle. Or I can love you in this moment and not that moment. And then I love you again because now I approve of you again. Right? This love, the word that's coming to me now is like, one thing is it's allowance. You know, this love allows anything without any judgment, without any rejection, without any cutting off or punishment or anything. You know, this love is allowance, and actually that is perfect love. That is perfect love. And if you look at awareness even a little bit, if you can see it even a little bit, you can tell that awareness is, in that way, pure love. It's pure allowance. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. There's no judgment whatsoever, ever, in love. Also, life. Now, the life is a little easier to find. Life, isness. I mean, you can't, if you look at awareness, you know it's alive. I mean, you know it is, right?
Yes.
You couldn't separate life from awareness. It would be impossible. So it would be like trying to separate the light from this room. You just can't. So, and then this is saying that that love, that life, is you. And again, if you practice the awareness, watching awareness this week, even if you only got it for a glimpse every now and then, you saw that undoubtedly it's you. In fact, when you're aware of awareness, in the moments that you're aware of awareness, it is more intimately you than your mind. Your mind is somehow like on the outside. Your mind is something foreign. This is more intimately you than the mind. So that which you find is love, and it is you. That which you find is life, and it is you. That which you find is beyond description, and so we simply call it the Word. And that which you find is you. Verses 5-7. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. What then is God? God is an awareness that is pure, because it looks on only that which is wholly true. This is God, and God, as an awareness, exists within you. You know, if I was to like sit down and rewrite this as a person trying to explain it to someone, one of the things that would be in my rewriting would be that God is not mind. God is not that thinking. God is not that changing thinking. Today I was looking at an old notebook. I don't know what made me. I don't remember ever reaching back into my old notebooks. I have all these old notebooks I used to write in, but I never grabbed them. But this morning, or this afternoon, I reached down and grabbed one and started reading it. And I was reading one of my old writings about thoughts being like ghosts. Because, you know, you can kind of see through a ghost. Like, right, you could see through Casper. Mm-hmm. You know, you could see him, you could see through him. So thoughts are kind of like ghosts, and in this writing it was talking about how different thoughts are different colored ghosts. You know, like maybe anger is kind of a reddish ghost, and maybe jealousy is kind of a greenish ghost, or whatever. And that when you look through the thought at the world, you actually see the thought. So like, you know, if I'm looking at the thought of self-judgment, that's the thought, self-judgment. And I'm looking at it, at Dan through it right now, well, I'm thinking he hates me. Look at it. He's not even looking at me. He's looking at his book. I mean, you see how it colors, right? And I think I know what I'm looking at, but I don't, right? So whatever thought we are looking through, it really is like a little ghost, a little shaded ghost, and it colors what we're seeing through it. And God does not have ghosts in its mind. God is ghostless, right? God is pure awareness. So when God looks out, which again, God would be us without the ghosts, right? When God looks out, God sees purely, which means God sees love, life. That's what God sees in everything. Love, life. Nothing but love, life. That's all God can see. Love, life, right? Pure awareness. And so there is no darkness at all in God. There are no ghosts coloring the vision. And again, we're using the word God, which people often think of as some other him, you know, some divine him. But this is saying God is an awareness. You know, we could say God is our awareness. God is awareness without mind, right? Awareness without ghosts. Awareness without prejudice. Verses 8 to 10. God is our own soul, the heart of our truth, the spirit that endures forever without end. God is all that is true. And that which is true overlooks the false, because the false has no meaning in the light of truth. To know thyself, return the mind to God. This is done in a moment of peace when God is your only desire. So a couple of things there worth talking about. One is it says that God overlooks the faults. Well, probably a truer statement is that God doesn't even see the faults. But this is here as a stepping stone for us who is still reaching for God in ourself. And what this is pointing out is that whenever we're focused on the faults, like if I'm sitting here being all upset because he's still not looking at me. Oh, there he did. But you know, why isn't he paying attention to me tonight? Maybe I said something wrong when we went out to lunch last week, and maybe now I've turned him off to me and, you know, yada, yada, yada. When I am doing that, when I am doing that, I am further and further and further from my God self. And if I really want to know God, to know my God self, your God self, it's all the same. If I really want that, I have to be willing to overlook my perceptions that come through those ghosts, through those thoughts. It may seem very real to me right now that Dan apparently no longer likes me. He's not having the eye contact with me that he used to have, blah, 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 blah. Just because I do not feel only love and life. I have to know, because I'm feeling something else, I have to know this is false. And this is where a lot of people get stuck on letting go of the false. It's like, it's true though, Regina. I see it too. Dan's not paying attention to you tonight, and he always has before, you know? I mean, we could all three be whispering about it and agreeing. It doesn't matter whether the appearance is even true, right? Even Dan could tell me, it's true, Regina. Something's happened. I'm not into you anymore, right? I still have to overlook it, right? It's not true if it's not the pure vision of love and life. That's the only truth. That's all that God sees. So if it's anything other than that, it is not true, right? And I have to be willing to overlook it as only me seeing through a ghost, me seeing through a false thought, through a false belief. Even if Dan hates me now, and he's sitting there telling me he hates me, I have to trust that if I was seen with the pure awareness that is God, I could sit there and listen to Dan telling me how much he hates me, and I would still only see love and life. Right? So my seeing is still false, even if he agrees with it, because it's not love and life. And so if I really want to get to this God seeing, which I have full capability of doing because it is my truth, it's everyone's truth, it's the only truth, I have to be willing to overlook everything that is not that God seeing. And that's what's false, right? Everything that is not that God seeing. And then again, sentence 3 and 4 tells us, to know thyself, return the mind to God. Return the mind to God means the pure awareness, right? And then it says, this is done in a moment of peace when God is your only desire. If I want Dan to love me, worship me, think I'm the greatest teacher in the world, then I don't want God as my only desire, right? I want something else. I want Dan to think of me a certain way. And this is one thing that we really want to pay attention to. And I think it happens for all of us, but I'll speak for myself. When I remember what I call my true desire, when I remember that all I want is awakening, I drop into the heart so fast. It's like an immediate drop into the heart, a direct path. And I feel incredibly humble at the same time. Like there's this humble feeling, I can surrender any idea, I can surrender any perception, any desire, but I have to take the time to remember what I want. If I get all caught up in thinking I want Dan to see me a certain way, I stay up here in the head, right?
Yeah.
So I have to be willing to pause and say, what do I really want? I have to take that trip to the heart, and once I take that trip to the heart, then I'm willing to let go of wanting Dan to see me a certain way, right? Then I'm ready for my God awareness to return.
I have experienced that ability to be able to drop everything else once I ask myself, well, my heart desire, what is my heart desire? And I've been successful enough that that's what I want and I can let it go. Where before, I could never let go because, you know, I have to be right and I have to prove everybody that I'm the right one and they're the wrong one. But now I ask myself that and I can let it go. And
yeah.
It just is so amazing to me. It's so amazing.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so let's go into NTI 1 John chapter 2. And again, just like in 2 Peter, as we went through all throughout all of 2 Peter, we wanted to keep in mind that the word abundance meant our full awareness of our divine nature. If we happen to see the word God again, I don't remember, but if we happen to see the word, yeah, we will. We want to remember that God is pure awareness. That's what that word God means. Okay, so NTI 1 John chapter 2. My dear child, look within and see that you have not sinned. Look within and see that you have taken the sins of the world upon your breast and held them there. And then realize what Jesus did. He released the sins of the world as illusion, accepted the face of Christ, and returned himself to the awareness of God. Now, you know, we hear, of course, the Christian story, which really is a Jewish interpretation of the crucifixion. The Christian story, of course, is that Jesus died for our sins. In fact, just a few days ago, I hadn't been around that thinking in a while, but I picked up a pamphlet and I was reading it, and it was quite interesting. It said something like, you know, step one, accept that you are a sinner. Step two, accept that there's nothing that you can do to you know, repair this state of sinfulness. And then step three, accept that Jesus died for your sins. He set you free. And then I think I quit reading after that. So I don't remember what step four was. There were like 11 steps.
That's why I find Lent so hard, because that's that whole thing exactly in those three steps.
Is it?
That is again put out there, and I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of reinterpreting this. This is saying, you know, Jesus at some point did take on the sins of the world, but not at the crucifixion. Jesus would have taken on the sins of the world, you know, based on his lifetime, maybe in another lifetime. When we believe that we are the sinner, when we believe that we are unworthy, we are taking on the sins of the world. We've talked about before how we all have the I am bad thought. And we've talked about before that if we look at it really deeply, we all find out that somewhere inside of us, we believe, I'm the lowliest one, right? You know, I'm the worst. I'm the sinner. Everybody else is better. When we, that belief in me and that we all have until it's healed, that belief, that's the belief that takes on the sins of the world. It says, I'm the worst. What Jesus did was not take on the sins of the world. What Jesus did was release the sins of the world as illusion. And see, we each need to follow in his footsteps. It's that belief, I am sinner, right? That's taking on the sins of the world. That's what needs to be released, the belief that I'm a sinner. Notice it says, my dear child, look within and see that you have not sinned. Do you know how hard that one sentence is for most people to believe? I mean, just immediately they read it and say, immediately dismiss it as not true. Why? Because that's how much we believe we have. That's how much we believe we are a sinner, right? And the funniest thing is, a lot of these people, maybe even the ones right here in this room with me now, who believe that they're these horrible sinners, if another person was to sit down and interview them, you wouldn't be able to find, why do you think that? You know, I mean, there are people who have done horrible things. But the vast majority of the people who are carrying this belief haven't done hardly anything. You know, hardly anything. Most people would say, that doesn't matter. You know, that was just a mistake, right? But we can't see that about ourselves. We say, no, 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 I am horrible. I really am. I am horrible.
But even like in the church, in the Catholic church, when you go to communion, before that,
yes,
you say, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed.
Yes.
So it's right there.
Yes. Yes. Which part are you saying right there? Because I heard both. I'm not worthy to receive you as the sinner.
But only say the word and I shall be healed.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So this is telling us, again, we're not the sinner. But what we have done is taken the sins of the world upon our breast, and we hold them there. You know, we're the ones that holds it there. And this is saying, realize what Jesus did. He released that. He released the sins of the world. He accepted the face of Christ, which means he saw every one of his brothers and sisters as sinless. And he returned himself to the awareness of God, which means he let go of all false beliefs and only saw love and life. Right? And it's asking us to follow in his footsteps. Verses 3 to 6. We know that we have come to know Christ as we practice the teachings of Christ. The teachings of Christ are these. I am Christ. Notice the difference between I am Christ and I am the greatest sinner of the world, or I am the lowliest person in the world, or I am the ugliest person in the world, or I am the stupidest person in the world, or I am the meanest person in the world, right? It's funny because we accept those things so easily. I am Christ, we don't accept quite as easily. I am Christ. Now look at the next sentence. This may even be harder for some people. I am all that is perfect, and all that is perfect is in me. There are lots of people who could not stomach that idea because they really believe the opposite to be true. But if you remember, I am is the awareness. I am. You are the awareness. That's your truth. Has that awareness ever sinned? Even in your own judgment? No. Maybe the mind in your own judgment. Maybe the body in your own judgment. But has the awareness? No. And you see, that's what you are. I am all that is perfect. I am the awareness. And all that is perfect is in me. The awareness is in me. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Here, if you wanted to, you could see the Father as universal awareness. The truth is, you and universal awareness are the same. There's no separation. But right now, while you still perceive yourself as a person, it would be helpful to see yourself maybe as like the sunbeam to the sun, right? I am awareness, and I am in universal awareness. That can be a helpful stepping stone. All that I am not is illusion. If I am awareness, if that's what I am, I'm not the mind. I'm not the body, right? That is illusion. I am awareness. All that I am not is illusion. And I am all that I am. I am awareness. And I am universal awareness as well. We know that we have come to know Christ as we practice the teachings of Christ. So it's not just reading this paragraph. It is really starting to accept this in my way of being. You know, and an example of accepting this in the way of being might be, I hear myself getting angry. I hear myself yelling, and instead of continuing to throw myself into the yelling, and also instead of judging myself for yelling, I shift into awareness and just start watching. And probably if I shift into awareness and just start watching, something's going to start to change. There might still be a little bit more yelling, but like it's going to shift. You know, the yelling might stop in a moment or something, because once you start watching, you're not throwing yourself completely into the character. That is a shift. And so that's going to create some kind of a shift. So what I want to do is I want to start practice these teachings by shifting into awareness, shifting into watching, shifting into being the observer, rather than throwing myself completely into the character. We know that we have come to know Christ as we practice the teachings of Christ. The teachings of Christ are these. I am Christ. I am all that is perfect, and all that is perfect is in me. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. All that I am not is illusion, and I am all that I am. Verses 7 to 8. It is true that this is not a new command, for this is what has always been true. The darkness is passing, and the true light has always been shining. Now, most of us, when we are on this spiritual path, especially since we are going through purification and we are learning to let go of some false beliefs and stuff, somehow we think we're getting better, you know? we're getting better, or we're awakening, or something like that. And what this is pointing out is actually the awareness is unchanged. The mind is getting better, and what that does is that somehow creates some space for us to start noticing the awareness that's always been here. But on our, if you'll pardon the expression, worst day, the awareness was exactly as it is on our best day, right? So that awareness has always been perfect. It's not becoming perfect. The mind is becoming purified, which allows us to focus on the awareness more. But the awareness has always been perfect. It doesn't ever, has never needed purification. So verses 9 to 11. Let the darkness pass. So even though the awareness is always perfect, it's always been perfect, go ahead and go through purification. Go ahead and let the mind become purified anyway. Some people get that confused. Some people think, if awareness is always perfect, then I don't need to purify the mind. And that's not really true, because if you don't purify the mind, you're always going to be distracted from awareness. You're going to be too caught up in all of your mind stuff. Too many ghosts in front of your eyes coloring everything, right? So even though the perfection has always been perfect and it's here, go ahead and go through purification anyway.
It's the awareness, though, that's attaching to the thoughts.
Yes.
It's the awareness that's doing that.
Yeah, well, it shines through. Like if I had a light here, if I just shine a light, you'll see pure light. If I hold up a greenish piece of film in front of it, then you'll see a green light. The light itself is actually still pure, but when it projects through the thought, yes, it's not pure. But the light itself is always pure. But what we want to do is get rid of the thoughts that it's projecting through. We want to let go of those false beliefs so that we recognize pure light as pure. We don't recognize pure light as pure when it's shining through hate, when it's shining through fear.
Yeah.
It's, right?
Yeah.
It still is pure light, but it doesn't look like it anymore.
Right.
Yeah. So this is why we want to go ahead and purify. Go ahead and purify so we can recognize pure light for what it is. So let the darkness pass and do not allow sorrow to come over you. Now this doesn't mean repress the sorrow. That's not what it means when it says do not allow sorrow to come over you. This is really referring to thoughts that might say things like, I will never awaken, right? This is saying don't let those doubt thoughts get a hold of you, because they're not true. You know, don't believe those false thoughts. So let the darkness pass and do not allow sorrow to come over you. The darkness must pass in order for you to see the light. And you must see the light in order to embrace it. How shall you know if you stand within the light or stumble within the dark? There is one simple test, and this simple test shall never fail. Ask yourself honestly how you feel about your brother. So there is such a thing as a spiritual ego. You guys probably know that. And the spiritual ego will act all spiritual and tell you how spiritual I am and blah, 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 blah. But it's just crap. And sometimes it's difficult to tell the difference between the spiritual ego and the spiritual heart. It actually isn't difficult when you're in the spiritual heart.
Right.
It's difficult when you're in the mind. It depends on where you're looking from. But this is saying, you know what, to check, ask yourself, how do you feel about your brother? And when you ask that, you know, just really look. Because if you can think of one brother that you do not love wholly, well, then you're still in the dark. You're still looking through a ghost. If you see one brother, and well, yeah, there's light and love there, but also a little bit of selfishness, you know, right? I see love, light, and selfishness. Then you're still in the darkness. You're still looking through ghosts, right? Your light is still colored, okay? So ask yourself honestly how you feel about your brother. If there is one brother whom you do not love truly, you are lost within darkness. Rest yourself and let the darkness pass. For beyond the darkness of illusion, There lives only the light of truth. Now rest yourself means don't project your attention to your mind. At some point, you know, and you may already be noticing this, you know, when we're used to being lost in the mind, we don't notice how much it's tiring us. When you start learning to not be lost in the mind all the time, and then one day a story grabs you and you're back in the mind again, you notice the stress and the tiredness that you didn't used to notice. And then you understand why not being lost in the mind is called rest yourself, right? Because when you're lost in the mind, that is a very tiring, stressful activity. In fact, the Buddhists call it suffering. It's suffering to be lost in the mind. But so when you're lost in the mind, you want to rest yourself, which means take a break from the mind. You know, take a break, go into awareness, watching awareness, or, you know, pull out an inspirational thought or open an inspirational book. Somehow turn your attention away from being lost in the mind. Rest. Rest yourself and let the darkness pass. For beyond the darkness of illusion, there lives only the light of truth. Do not reach for the darkness and it will pass. When the light streams through and reaches for you, embrace it. So do not reach for the darkness is talking about projecting our attention into those thoughts. Don't get engrossed by the thoughts. Don't get lost in the thoughts. And when you notice you have, shift back out again, right? Verses 12 to 14. Have faith in your true self. When the feelings of darkness are upon you and you feel the burden and pain of guilt, have faith in yourself. You are the light that lives beyond the darkness. Do not be fooled by the illusion of pain. In resting yourself, you are healing yourself, and a great dawning is about to occur. So again, resting means not projecting all of our attention into our thoughts. When we don't do that, when we rest from the mind, we are literally healing. And, you know, and we all know that when we're going through this healing process, there are times when it feels very, very difficult. But if we just rest to the best of our ability, we are healing. Every time we rest from the mind, we are healing. And so this is saying, just trust that. Even if you're not feeling the joy, even if you're not seeing only light and love yet, trust that you are healing whenever you rest from the mind.
That's so nice. That's
really, you like that, huh?
Yeah, I do like that.
Yes. Sentence 6. Actually, when I was going through purification, this was one of my favorite sentences. I would say this to myself all the time. Trust yourself and trust the healing process which you have chosen. You know, again, and when I was going through that purification, there were times when really I was suffering a lot because incredibly repressed things were coming up. And it just was not fun at all. And I would lay there and say to myself, trust the healing process. Just trust the healing process. And now on the other side of it, I can say it worked. So now I know. Then I didn't know. I was hoping. But it worked. Verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or value anything of the world. When you are distracted by the world, you forget to focus on your healing. In your forgetfulness, the dark clouds of illusion are not let go. How can they be let go when the Son of God has decided to place his desire with illusion? So when this says do not love the world, it doesn't mean judge the world. In fact, when the healing process is done, you're going to love the world just like you love everything. Love and life is all you see, you know. But what this means is don't think my happiness is in money, or don't think my happiness is in romantic relationship, or don't think my happiness is getting lots of vacations, or, you know, because when you start thinking that kind of stuff, you're forgetting your true desire, and you're paying attention to your false desires, And the mind is going to hook you back in, because now the mind is going to have all kinds of stories about how to get a romantic partner or how to get money or how to get vacation and worries, what if the vacation doesn't work out? And, you know, I mean, you're just going to be all hooked into the mind again. So you can't value the world as your source of happiness, your source of love, your source of security, because as soon as you start loving and valuing the world in that way, the mind has got you. You have to let go of the world. You have to see the only source of happiness, love, security is know thyself. And remember what you want. And if you can stay with only one purpose, you could call it only one attachment if you want to, right? You could call it only one value. If you can stay with just that singleness, then you'll be able to step away from the mind. But as soon as you start thinking something else is your salvation, you're going to be hooked with the mind, because the mind is what's yapping about that. Awareness isn't yapping about that, right? Verses 18 to 23. Illusion can be recognized in your heart by the priorities you place on all that you see. If anything in the world has more priority than another thing, you are desiring within the world, and you have asked to experience illusion. If all things within the world have the same priority, and only your relationship with me stands apart in your mind, you are letting go of illusion, and the clouds of darkness are passing. So this is another self-test we can give. Just like before we were told we can tell if we're in the light or the darkness by how we feel about our brother. This is saying, if you want to check and see if you're still valuing the world, well, then just look and see. Is there anything in the world that has more importance to you than something else? If so, then you're still valuing the world. Because when you're valuing only me, only Holy Spirit, only awakening, everything in the world has an equalness to it. Equanimity is the word that's commonly used. Equanimity. You know, if I get to go on this vacation, that's great. But if something doesn't happen and we can't go, that's okay too. You know, everything should be equal out there. But if going to the vacation is more important than not going, or maybe getting to not go, talk them out of going, is more important than going, you know, if there's anything that's uneven out there, that means your attention's still out there. Your attention isn't just with the heart. So it's just a little test. You can say, oh, I see that's important to me. I need to drop back in. I need to go back into the heart. I need to remind myself of what I truly want. Right? Verses 24 to 25. What you have heard from the beginning remains in you, and it shall always be with you, even through your illusion. For that which you heard was love, and it remains as always the calling of your heart. What this is referring to here as the beginning is whatever called you onto this spiritual path. If you can remember at some point, there was something calling you to start this spiritual path. That calling is still there, even in times when it feels weak. It's saying this is still in you. It remains as always. It is the calling of your heart. The truth is, this is your true desire. This is what you really want. Money isn't what you really want. Romantic relationship isn't what you really want. Travel isn't what you really want. This is what you really want. That's the truth. You felt it at least once before, and it is still there, and certainly sometimes you still feel it now. You are led astray only by your own false desires, so that you always follow yourself. When you have gone into the darkness and seem to be away from love, remember that love is always there. Stand quietly, desiring only love, and let love become in you. So again, if we've placed our attention with other desires, we get distracted for a while. But if we go and it says stand quietly, but you know, return ourselves to our heart, maybe we need to, you know, just take some contemplation time or open an inspirational book, but find it, because it's still there. Your calling never leaves. Once it's called you, it remains. Stand quietly and rest in faith and trust that darkness may pass and light may become in you. Have faith in the light and hold only unto the light. It is by holding only to light that that light is all you shall see. So again, we won't get to where we see only light if we keep giving our attention to false thoughts, false belief, false perceptions. At some point, we have to be willing to let everything else go and hold only to the light. So, an assignment for the week. I suppose, if you guys are willing, a good assignment is just to be open to noticing when we have projected our attention and belief into something that's not true, meaning it isn't just love and life. You know, maybe we're thinking somebody's trying to take advantage of us. Maybe we're thinking somebody doesn't care about us. Maybe we're thinking we don't have enough money. But something else has our attention. And then when we notice that, look first to see what it is, and then ask, what do I truly want? And see if we can't shift to the point that whatever just had our attention, just it can't hold our attention now because we've gone back to the heart. And so we just lose interest. And I will stop the recorder and we will have a bit of silence.